Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Jack, who's sitting next to Cranky Jay.
And welcome to the Friday edition of The Lost Podcast. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing, Jay?
I'm a little cranky.
You seem a little out of it. So seem a little down. Seem a little down.
Yeah, I'm a little little depressed today.
Now, it's a shame you can see your reflection in that monitor there. That probably not helping.
Oh, man. That's just, you know, the whole trying to get a real job process.
That's okay.
It's a stressful.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, I know. I know.
This is nothing.
Anyway, all right, Jack.
Wrong podcast.
I know, right?
The Married Man podcast has been up 2 weeks.
That's what she said?
Yes.
But yeah, you can find that on iTunes. I posted a link to how to subscribe that on my Twitter at twitter.com/LukeBank.
And then I copied it and retweeted it.
You did now?
I did.
Why don't you just use the retweet button?
I did.
Oh, okay. So you didn't copy it?
I did copy. I said, wait, I can just retweet it. You know, but some people you can't retweet their tweet.
Yeah, I know.
Why is that? Like Chris in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You can't retweet his tweets. I can't anymore.
I think he may like block him or something.
What do you think? Just because he works for the Official Lost Podcast? Jerk. Just like a Patriots fan to be a little have their ego go, oh, I can't. You can't retweet my tweets. I'm a Red Sox Patriots fan.
He was elitist New Englanders, you know.
Yeah, they think they're better than everyone else. There's a couple other people too.
And how about our Padres, man?
Unbelievable. I don't know how they're winning.
Best record in the NL?
Pitching. It's pitching.
That's what I read. I heard their relief pitching has been amazing.
Well, they have the best relief pitching in baseball.
Yeah.
Once it's turned over like the sixth inning, but can they continue to keep going like this?
We need one more hitter, like a good hitter. You think we'll get one?
Oh, they're talking about it, but the names they're talking about aren't like earth-shattering. They're not like, oh my God!
Yeah.
Babe Ruth! Actually, they could trade for Babe Ruth. They'd probably get him cheap. But,
it's Babe Ruth III, though, and it's a girl.
Yeah.
Well,
that might be better than some of the Padre hitters.
That's true. Were you saying girls can't hit, Jack?
Not Major League.
No. Great.
Well, you
can have the hate email this week.
I'm all for it, but I'm just waiting to see, is there one out there?
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying?
I don't know.
I just go by what the evidence that's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to make up things like you.
Well, we have the
top... I have a great cell phone story for the Married Man podcast, though.
Oh, well, we're recording that this weekend. So.
Yes.
And it'll be up Monday or Tuesday.
At least I think it's a great one.
You think it's a great one? Okay.
I think it's just...
That's not the pain meds talking?
No, I'm done with it.
No? Oh, you're done with pain meds?
No, I don't take them anymore.
Any withdrawals?
I haven't had my nap in the last couple days. Because I sleep like 3 hours at a time.
Uh-huh.
Because I just can't sleep.
Yeah.
And then, but I usually take one, but now I'm working again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no nap for me.
You just nap at work.
That's true.
Just bring out like a little cot.
Just fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like kindergarten all over again.
It's not like anybody's coming in anyway.
Exactly. In the middle of the day, there's nobody there.
Get all the screaming kids though.
Oh, man. So today we're doing a top five favorite and least favorite moments from season 6 of Lost. And let me tell you, this list was really, 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 really difficult.
I changed it quite a few times and finally I said, you know what? I'm just going with this.
Because I've been trying to do it all week and I still don't have a fifth favorite.
I have one that's on both. I put it to the side.
Uh-huh.
It's my least and favorite.
Really? That's interesting.
I had it on both of them at one point. I said,
Yeah.
I tried to go with things I knew I complained about
mm-hmm.
as far as the least favorite.
And yeah.
Favorite was, it was tough.
Yeah, it is because it's when you, I liked the majority of the season. So it was tough to like pick out the things that I liked the best.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was difficult and hopefully I'll come up with a fifth
I'm sure you will.
We get to that.
But isn't fifth favorite the first one you're supposed to give out?
I know, that's what I'm saying. So hopefully we go like least favorite first, and then we'll end with favorite, you know, kind of start with the bad news, end with the good news.
Yeah, kind of like, oh, it's kind of like here. We start with the bad news, Jay, and then with the good news, Jack.
That's a good analogy for the Jay and Jack conundrum there.
Yep.
So we're also, for those wanting to know, for Comic-Con, we do have our panel on Saturday. I believe it's 1 or 2 o'clock.
Somewhere in San Diego.
Yeah, it's at the Marriott. We've been pushed out of the convention center to the Marriott next door to the convention center.
And it's not actually in the Marriott. It's outside in front of the Marriott.
it's actually in the bathroom.
Yeah. It's going to be a tight squeeze, but you know.
I should probably post. I'll post that on this post for this episode.
So but it's on does that Saturday. Mean anybody can go in, or do you still have to have a pass?
It's like because they did this last year. They're starting to move like parts of the Comic-Con into the hotels, like that Hilton that's right next to that new hotel.
Right.
That they have stuff over there now. They have panels over there, and they have panels at the Marriott. And I feel like they're doing its panels somewhere else too.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's just there's not enough room at the convention center, so it's just starting to spread out into the other hotels. So ours is at the Marriott on Saturday. I believe it's 1 or 2 o'clock, but it is on Saturday. So for those that have your Saturday passes, that's when it's going to be. For those that don't have the Saturday passes, Jack and I are planning on doing a live podcast either Thursday or Friday, and also a Jay and Jack meetup either Thursday or Friday. There's this really cool bar that's right next to Petco Park that I got the contact info to. We were there last year. I'm going to give them a call and see if...
Why don't we just have it at Petco Park?
That'd be cool. That'd be neat.
Or the park at the park. Outside, what the where they have the outside with behind the scoreboard.
They kind of close that off later on, like at
it's a small. It's a small fence.
Yeah. I want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail.
No one's going to jail, Karen.
So we are planning a meetup and a live podcast as well on the other days for those that don't have Saturday passes. And you can look forward to our usual Comic-Con coverage. I think I might make a Jay and Jack's Comic-Con 2010 feed just to have all the Comic-Con stuff.
Wow,
that we
that's
do.
Pretty exciting.
So that should be fun. And that's about it for like updates.
Well, there's going to be a Hawaii 5-0 panel.
Is there?
I'm going to that one.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Say hi to our good friend DDK.
Right.
DDK.
Grace Park will be there.
Grace Park will be there?
Yep.
I met her last year at Comic-Con. And she rejected you and your dreams.
She did.
So yeah, it's really exciting. I'm getting excited for Comic-Con. It's going to be a blast. It'll be nice to see all our old friends again. Ryan and Jen are going.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Because the last I talked to them, they said no, they weren't going because they didn't want to see you.
They were all depressed and bummed they didn't get their tickets, but they managed to get their tickets and they're going to be there. So that's really exciting. So the more the merrier for our crew of people.
I'm sure we'll have them up on our panel.
Yeah, they will be at our panel again, and I'm trying to get a couple other people to
go
to the panel.
We're not having Ralph, are we?
He just invites himself.
I know.
Time.
He just
shows up.
Oh, we're kidding. We like Ralph. We love Ralph. We're just teasing.
But I think you have to do a Lost podcast in order to be on.
Oh.
Snap.
Ouch.
All right.
He never responded to my Dirty Harry.
No?
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
All right.
He's a big baby.
Whatever.
Just you have to form spring him the question, I think. That's the only way you can get in touch with that guy nowadays.
You know what? I have form spring.
Yeah.
But I check it like once, because no one asks me any questions. Well, I don't advertise it.
Yeah.
But I must have made a favorite with Ralph, because every time he pops up. And I read I read the hundreds of questions he gets.
Yeah. I think it's like the same guy. I think it's like, I don't know.
I think it's him.
I think it is. Because
you know, when you pop on, it does say you can ask yourself a question.
It does, yeah. So it's got to be Ralph. Yeah. That's my only explanation for it. All right, enough of this rambling. What do you say we get into our top 5 favorite and top 5 least favorite moments from season 6 of Lost? And we also have a lot of listener feedback to get into today as well.
I say we do it.
All right, here we go.
Best 5 favorite least. Least 5 favorites. Best 5 favorites. This is my favorite. Not my favorite. My favorite. Not my favorite. My favorite. Least 5 favorites. Best 5 favorites.
You still didn't do it right.
I know. I can't get the... It's life.
I don't know. I'm disappointed. That's you do the stupid movie picks thing 10 years after you ever said that. And
movie
now you don't remember
picks.
This part. This is one of your best ones.
Movie picks.
All right, so...
this happens once in a lifetime. The movie picks is every all the time.
All right, Jack, do you want to go first? We're going to do least favorite moments from season 6 of Lost. There we go. Okay.
All right, so my number one least favorite.
I thought we were going at 5-1, like least to most.
Didn't I say my number 5?
You said number 1.
I apologize. My number 5 least favorite moment from season 6.
Okay.
The whole thing. I just want to be like everybody else. I'm kidding. My worst one, number 5, was Alana getting blown up.
Ah, yes.
Number one, I love the character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love the actor.
We were both big Alana fans.
Yeah, big Alana, especially after Sunset on the Beach and the party before. Uh-huh. But seriously, you know, she was supposed to be trained by Jacob. Obviously, wasn't trained.
It was an abrupt arsed Ian ending.
She was not focused. Mm-hmm. She was throwing water bottles in with the fragile dynamite and blew herself up.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was unexpected. So but I didn't like her getting blown up. I wanted more from Alana. I wanted a little more of her story.
Yeah, me
too. So if there was one complaint about not getting answers, okay, she had some training by Jacob. She had something. There was some connection there. What was it?
Yeah, and then we never really got a lot of her story. And she was a very interesting character.
Right.
And it was disappointing that she did die so abruptly.
Did,
yeah, exactly. All right. Well, my number five is the death of Juliet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The beginning of season six. Yeah, we found out that Juliet was still alive. Like, oh yeah, she's alive.
But you knew it was gonna happen.
Not really. I didn't. I mean,
she had another show.
Yeah, but she could have like gone off on some other part of the jungle for, I don't know, however long. I mean, she was still in the Flash sideways a little bit.
Go hang out with Nikki and Paolo.
Yeah. So you know, I thought it was. That was just a terrible way for such a great character like Juliet to die. I thought.
But I think it was dramatic, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I hated to see her. I, you know, it's funny when she first came on that we did. You know, there was a while that we all hated her.
Yeah. Yes. You
know, most people hated Juliet, but then mm-hmm. when she came into the when she hooked up with Sawyer, you know, it's funny when Kate hooked up with Sawyer, everybody hated her.
You know, but you know the chemistry between Juliet and Sawyer really worked.
It did work,
and I think that's why people got attached to her so much.
But yeah, I agree. It was sad. My number four, Saeed not shooting Zoe.
Why is that?
I never liked her. I didn't understand it. Maybe he was having regrets of what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a good guy in there, but you know, a good soldier would not have let her go. Right?
Is that a good soldier? I mean, I don't know. I think that
she is the enemy.
That scene was a good showing the chink in the armor scene.
Yeah.
Showing that he was regaining his humanity.
And he wasn't fully working for Man in Black.
Yeah.
But I didn't like Zoe, so if she would have got shot, I would have cared.
Yeah, Zoe was not one of the more loved characters this season.
I don't know why.
And she almost made it into my top five, but
she
didn't.
She was just, I don't know. She was the...
There's a phone call about her, actually, I think is pretty good.
Really? She was the Carl of season six, for me, anyway.
Yeah, okay.
I just remember, the reason I picked it, I remember complaining about her a few times, and I had to think of something that she... So.
All right, well, my number four is Saeed-related as well, and it is Saeed with Shannon. Now, I know this is... I understand why he picked Shannon. I understand why they were together. Like, I get it. But still, in the end, it just didn't do it for me. It didn't do it for me. I know you're a big Saeed and Shannon supporter, but for me, the whole time he was pining over this one girl, and I think it should have been that girl if it was really truly it. But I understand. I get why. So I don't need to
press
email saying why.
He was never hooked up with Nadia.
I get that. But at the same time, I was kind of sad because, you know, it was, I think that was his
well, Nadia and
his
him,
lobster.
Him and Nadia were never meant to be.
Yeah. And I get that. And I get it. But still, it doesn't
even
mean
though
that
they,
it was...
they were the better. But he brought out the best in Shannon, and Shannon brought out the best in him on the island.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the end, if
and that also relates to the whole the people you met on the island is most important stuff that
right.
happened
and
in
so
your life.
Right, and so that's what happened. And like how many he was the he cared the most about anybody that died in lot. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Even Hurley, who cared more about it. I mean, Charlie, he didn't mourn about Charlie as long as Saeed did about Shannon.
Maybe we're I can't wait to the rewatch to see how long he really did. I think we might have exaggerated his mourning a little bit longer than
I think he's still mourning. Because now they're together.
But as far as favorite scenes, Lisa was just like, that one is just like, eh, that to me was really the only one of the weaker parts of the final episode.
I think maybe if I didn't know she was coming back, because originally she wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't. And I found out when she was coming back.
And I got.
Did you get spoiled on that?
Yeah, it was an email.
Ah, okay.
Someone sent an email and I went, it wasn't that big a deal, but
yeah.
Maybe if I didn't know she was coming back, I would have been like, oh, okay. But either way.
So you had more time to process it, I guess, or?
Well, once I figured out what was going on with when I saw the blonde, right away, I said, oh, yeah. I said, that's Shannon.
Yeah, me too.
I get what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
My number three was the Kate, Claire in the taxi with the taxi driver. That whole scene just didn't work with Art's going, "Hey, my bag."
Yeah.
I'm walking here. The whole scene from Midnight Cowboy
Yeah.
It was overplayed. It didn't work for me. And, you know, her Kate with the gun and the whole thing. I didn't like the scene then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it now.
Yeah, I understand.
It just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I would have run Arts over. He was already dead.
So yeah, exactly.
Did it matter?
Can you really kill a dead guy?
Yeah. Well, as we see, you can't.
All right. Number three for me is the abandonment of Ji-hyun. It was bad enough that Sun and Jin had to die in such a terrible way. I mean, granted, it was romantic in the sense that they died together, so they didn't die alone. But it still is very tragic, and I understand, I totally get why Jin decided to stay, because he wasn't able to survive escaping anyhow. But still, at the same time, it was very tragic in that they died by drowning, which is probably one of the worst ways to die, and that Ji-hyun would end up being without her parents for forever.
Right.
And so it's not so much least like I didn't like it, I didn't like the writing or anything, but it's just least because it's a very sad, sad scene when you like think of all the ramifications of what happened there.
That was going to be part of my debate with 386,
mm-hmm.
but he never sent an email in.
Because that's probably one of the most tragic, to me, moments in the entire show, right. is when they died.
You were actually getting choked up and you're crying because they finally get together.
Exactly.
Finally get together.
The whole show.
A week before we thought they were going to get zapped by we didn't hear, you know, for a lot of us didn't hear him say, "Hey, turn off the fence."
Yeah.
We thought they were going to get, you know, zapped.
And, yeah.
Okay, they're back together and the next episode,
yeah.
they're not. They're mm-hmm. gone. They're dead. Well, they're together, but they're dead.
Yeah, and so it's just, I think, out of the love stories that were the most genuine, it would be Desmond and Penny and Sun and Jin. And I think, it was tragic. And it was one of my least favorite moments from season six.
All right, my number two was any scene with Claire and her hair.
Yes, that hair was...
Being a fan of hair and being someone who at one point used to take great care of his hair.
Are you a hair aficionado?
I was. Uh-huh. And just to see this beautiful woman, it was said in every week we'd get an email or a phone call or we'd post on a message.
Oh, if you read like other blogs and like websites too, just make fun of that hair.
Can you someone not get her a brush, a comb? It wasn't just us, but everyone said it. And I can remember the reason it came to me is I remember complaining about it every single. It's like, my God, just get her a comb. Why do you keep giving her a rifle? Get her a comb. Wash her hair.
I mean, you know, I think that might have been a tribute to the awesomely bad wigs throughout the show.
Yeah, I think that might have been that was up there. Was that up there with Michael Emerson's when he was being a young boy?
Oh, yeah, in, what was that, Man Behind the Curtain?
Right, or maybe one of Jack's wigs.
Jack's from Man of Science, Man of Faith.
Yeah.
Or
one of John Locke's.
You know, he had decent ones, I thought. I thought were pretty good.
But you knew he didn't have hair. That was
But he had they did his well in the sense that you could see, like, each time they went, like, further along.
Boone had a bad one, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I think that was his actual hair. He grew it out there for a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it just looked bad.
Never mind.
Sorry, Ian, somewhere.
It gets humid in Hawaii.
All right, my number two is the death of Alana. She blew up.
And yes.
Same reasons why you did. It's just like I really got invested in the character, and it was very abrupt. And I never felt it was really justified, her death. But at the same time, it showed you how real. And how high the stakes were they're going to be played.
Right.
And that it was also a callback and kind of paralleling season one with Arst, how he blew up and died.
Where it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, what I really loved about the entire series of Lost is how well it's like you go from season three and four and they mirror each other really well. And that's how, you know, through the looking glass. I mean, when you really look back and you look at the entirety of Lost, you can see like how really well thought out and planned and constructed it is. But still, at the same time, I was really bummed to see Alana die.
Well, we knew characters were going to die.
Yeah.
But at that point, I didn't expect her to die.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, you're what? What?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Are you crazy? My number one was Jacob pushing Man in Black into the light. I just didn't like it.
Oh, where he threw him in. Him in.
I just didn't like it. Jacob was, you know, being a big baby and, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. And he didn't understand what his, you know, obviously he killed the one they called Mother. But Mother did Mother deserve to die?
I would think so.
It can be argued that she wanted to die. I think most would agree.
I would definitely agree she wanted to die.
She didn't want to be protector of the island anymore. She was trying to get someone to kill her.
Yeah.
And she knew that this guy, her son.
She used him.
She used him to kill him. And Jacob didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
He admits he made the mistake.
Well, when you think about it, he's 40, but he's never got to see the real world or really grow up. He's 40. He's still very childish.
He's very childlike.
Yeah.
Because the way he watches the other people that Man in Black is with.
Because he has no experiences.
No, he only knows what his mom tells him and what Jacob tells him.
You mean Man in Black?
Man in Black.
Yeah.
I see.
But yeah, I agree. That was...
I just didn't like it. It rubbed me the wrong way. Obviously, it was key to the story continuing, though.
Yeah,
and what had happened, but I think Jacob could have handled it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little out of control there.
I agree. All right, and my number one is the entire episode titled "What Kate Does." I did not enjoy it whatsoever. It was boring. It was slow. And, you know, it's just the episode did nothing for me on like almost any level.
The whole taxi thing. But it was setting up what was going to happen later on with Claire.
Yeah, you know, I get it. I get the setup and everything. But it was just, it really lacked, especially in the last season of the show. Things were supposed to have. I mean, it's supposed to have an urgent pace because there's only so and so many episodes left.
Right.
But that one it was slow and boring and just it did nothing for me. So that is my least favorite moment of season 6.
Well, a lot of people say that about Kate's last few episodes.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people will say that about all her episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That they just don't like the character.
Mm-hmm.
Which I disagree with. I like Kate. But I agree. That episode, like I said, the taxi ride was
Everything, just didn't work.
Nothing was working in that scene. That whole. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number one.
Okay.
All right. So okay, let's take off our negative coats.
All right.
Here we go. We're throwing those out the door.
We're not gonna be the other podcasters. We're gonna be positive.
Oh man. Or we're actually gonna do a podcast, unlike some podcasts.
Yeah. It's true. That's my number six. Darmalar is not doing a single. Only a couple episodes.
They did one. Oh, they did two
during the final season.
That was.
But they did raise a lot of money for Autism Speak, so I can't complain.
All right.
Their segment raised the most, I believe.
Yeah, they did. All right, so do you want me to go first? I actually got my number five.
All right, go ahead and go first.
Okay, my number five is actually the entire Richard Alpert story. Finally getting that. I thought it was great. I thought the fact... I just love the fact... I mean, like I think we told to him, like Nessa Carbonell, you know... We were bummed that, what was the show?
Kane
got canceled, but at the same time, we were happy because he got to have his character
and
be
more
developed.
And, you know, it's funny, he kind of admitted that he was happy because at least he got to come back to a great show.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, he wasn't happy the show got canceled, but he was happy that at least he had a fallback and he got to come back to the show.
Exactly.
Lost.
And you could tell he really loved the show as well
He said, he loved working with the people on Lost.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, because we've seen it happen to other characters that we really liked, that if Kane would have been successful, we would have never gotten the Richard Alpert development. No, I guarantee it.
He might have come back for an episode or two.
Like Matthew Abaddon did. He came back, but it was just really, he came back and got killed in
that
episode.
There's no way we'd have had his whole backstory.
Exactly.
They might have mentioned it, kind of like they did with Russo.
Yeah.
And maybe, they couldn't have made a younger one.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or they could have said at a certain point you would stop aging or something like that. They could have done something like that. But with Russo, it was a young Russo we got her backstory with.
Yeah.
And but even that always kind of bugged me because that was...
Because it was rushed.
It was rushed.
And same thing like Matthew Abaddon. He was a character like, oh, he's so cool.
Yeah.
But then he got a job on Fringe and he came back in, was it The Life and Death? No, it was before Life and Death. Was it The Life and Death?
It was The Life and Death.
And he was killed off in that episode.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a quick send off. But, you know, so that's why it was so great to actually get a rich, great backstory like Richard Alpert's. And, so it's just, to me, that was just a great episode and a great individual episode that told a really good story.
It was probably my favorite episode of the season.
Yeah. And,
People go, so I've listened to people that absolutely hated that episode or loved it. Mm-hmm. There's really not much in between.
Yeah.
I don't know why the people hated it, but a lot of people just said it didn't work for them. Mm-hmm. And that if it didn't work, didn't work.
Yeah. But that's my number five.
My number five is Man in Black killing everyone in the temple. I love that scene where the music was going.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was very
and the way they're just walking and the way Kate's looking and she's hanging there as the smoke monster is going over her. You know, she's in the hole with Claire.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just intense and Miles running around trying to find a way out and It was a great scene.
Yes.
And I think Lapidus was running around and Alana at the time was running and stuff. It was well done.
Yeah, exactly.
And you also had Saeed killing Dogen.
Oh, that yeah, kind of
Dogen and Lennon
started it.
So that whole scene, you know, the people stayed behind and they paid the price.
Yeah, and it was just an intense.
It's scene. One that I remember, and I said I liked it. Not mm-hmm. that the people died.
Well, you like blood. You have a thirst for blood.
It happens. There will be blood. I have a milkshake. You have a milkshake.
I don't like it. I didn't get it. Number four for me is the eye closing last scene.
Yes.
Still thinking about it. It's very touching. Perfect bookend to the entire series. And the way Vincent comes up and lays down to him. Just beautiful, poetic, and just a great scene. And I couldn't think of a better last scene for the show, so that's my number four.
I know I took some heat because I said if you didn't shed a tear there, you don't have a heart. And I had some people sending emails saying, "Well, I didn't shed a tear, so I must be heartless."
Well, you are. Kidding.
We're kidding. It's just a joke. But 99% of you have a heart. My number four was the lighthouse scene with Jack and Hurley.
Oh yeah,
it just was very intense.
Yes,
it kind of opened up. Oh, that's what was going on. That's how he knew where everybody was. He was keeping track. That's what, you know, it kind of explained the numbers a little bit, what, you know, mm-hmm. I guess in a way it did. But the whole scene and then Jack getting mad and slamming the mirrors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was well, and Hurley's reaction, it was excellent. And then afterwards where he's talking to, Hurley's talking to Jacob and stuff like that, and Jack's overlooking the overlooking the ocean.
It was that was a great and a pivotal scene,
and it changed the direction of the show.
Changed the direction of Jack too.
Jack, because he realized he did have a purpose. Mm-hmm. He was there for a reason.
Exactly, and that was the turning point. That was the breaking point that finally got Jack out of that slump that he's had for his whole life. I guess you could really say.
Well, yeah,
he's always had that monkey on his back, the specter of his father,
right.
And that he wasn't good enough.
Right,
and at that scene point, really broke it.
At that point, because even when he was, you know, became the leader of the Losties,
he still had that intense doubt,
and he always made mistakes, and then he regretted
always second guessed himself,
and he always regretted the mistakes he made.
And
which I guess a great leader can't do. You can't regret if you make a mistake. You just have to keep going on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
I learn from your mistakes and and move on. But I would agree that it was a great scene. My number three is. The wake ups in throughout the show, every time a character woke up, like Hurley with Libby, but I think really when it was most intense was the last episode with Sun and Jin, Claire and Charlie and Kate and Sawyer and Juliet.
Right.
It was just, you know, everyone was just, it was so beautiful and poignant, and it was perfect on so many levels in that it reflected not only for those characters but the audience as well on where they've come from and where they arrived at and where they're at now. And just to me, that was just really a perfect way to send off the show and for the characters not only find their closure and to move on to the next level of whatever their existence is, but for the audience to accept what happened to the characters and to move on as well. And I thought that was perfect.
Right. My number three is basically the same. It's Claire and Charlie's wake up.
Ah, okay.
When they, you know, it just was so well done. It was touching. You get a tear in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
You get choked up because you always wanted them to be together.
Yeah.
Even on Island when Charlie was having his problems and, you know, Claire would go, you know, get away from me, Charlie. You know, do their whole thing.
I can't have you around my baby, Charlie.
Right, exactly. So you know, and then Echo was, you know, was it Locke punches him, stuff like that. And there's all of that friction there that like, always was kind of keeping them apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they finally got together the way the clips were done, you know, the whole fake peanut butter stuff.
Yeah.
It was well done, and I had to have one of those, and that's the one I picked.
Okay. All right. My number two is the Superman punch from the final episode.
Did you take my list?
Was that your number two?
My number two is the fight scene between Jack and Locke.
It's great. I mean, maybe it was seeing in the theater with, you know, 2,000 like-minded Lost fans.
We're all cheering.
But it was so cool. Just like, everyone's like, and then it just cuts to commercials like, ah!
And we're like, oh, no. It's like, Ralph was talking about it on Darmalars.
He was?
And he was talking about that scene, and he goes, he said, maybe it was because we were in, he goes, it was such a great experience watching it there. Because we were all cheering.
Yeah.
And then when it came back, the whole fight scene, it was just incredible.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was an epic fight scene. The scenery on the cliffs, I mean, just looking at it, you feel like it's insecure. I mean, they could just fall over and die,
right,
you know, at any second. And
the or get stabbed by a real knife.
Yeah, by a real knife, exactly. So, yeah, it was really incredible, just that whole fight scene. But really, that jump up, cutaway punch scene, it was awesome.
It was intense.
That
was really awesome. It was Jack at his best. And
yeah, exactly. And it was an amazing twist on what we thought would always happen, which would be a final showdown between Jack and Locke. But
right.
It wasn't
no.
the way you thought it would be.
No,
in
Jack had
one.
Finally gained respect for Locke.
Exactly.
And he was out to kill.
Yeah.
He was out to kill the guy who was pretending to be him.
Exactly. And it's so funny because you in your mind, I think same when you watched that first season, you knew there was always going to be this final showdown between Locke and Jack. But it's great how they totally twisted it.
Right.
And that's, you know, to me also in the essence proves what made Lost so awesome is it was never what you expected it to be.
No.
And
that's why a lot of people were disappointed because they didn't get what they wanted it to happen.
That's my number two. So what's your number two, Jack? Same thing?
Same thing.
Okay. So I'll go on my number one. Hopefully it's not your number one. And it is Hurley is the new number one.
I originally had that on my list and I took it off.
Really? Okay. So I didn't take the same thing out. For me, I couldn't think there'd be a better person to have as the new Jacob, the new number one, than Hurley, who was always, you know, the one that brought joy to the people.
He's loyal.
He's loyal.
But he's also compassionate and would have understanding. Like when he goes, well, Desmond won't be allowed to go back. And Ben said, no, that was Jacob's way of doing it.
Yeah.
You can do it different.
Exactly. And you know that under his, you know,
under his rule,
guidance,
there isn't going to be some rule where you can't leave the island once you're there.
Or that, but he'll always have the best interests of the people. And he'll always
plus,
strive.
Plus, I don't think there'll be the killing going on that went on when Jacob was ruling.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have...
Well,
you
there might not be anybody there, but...
Well, that's true, but you wouldn't have the purge. I don't think you would have these things going on with Hurley in rule. Because I think he would send him off the island.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that Hurley would be the perfect successor to Jack and somebody that could
really
change things.
I don't think Jack would have been the right choice.
No, he was the right choice for that time.
At that moment. But as the overall leader or the overall protector of the island... Jack wouldn't have done
because Jack was the leader they needed at that moment, which was, you know, they needed the guy, the man of action.
But they needed.
But now that the man of action is not needed anymore, they needed someone that was
the
actually,
island needed to go in a different direction.
Exactly,
and it did.
And Hurley was the right direction.
Right.
So that's my number one favorite moment.
Okay, my number one is Kate shooting MLB.
Ah, yes.
Again,
MLB, Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball, Man in Black.
There we go.
MIB. So. Just because, maybe in the theater, because here's a character everyone hates, that a lot of people hate. I'm telling you, 2,000 people cheered.
they cheered.
It was great. It was, you know, kind of a corny line. I saved the bullet, you know.
But it was awesome, though. Just the way they set that up, it was awesome.
So you're thinking, oh my God, is Jack going to die? Jack going to die? Jack going to die? And then boom.
Yeah.
And turn around, it's Kate.
Yeah, exactly.
So, cool. And she finally saved the man that she loves. Mm-hmm. And she finally picked, we think. So,
yeah.
So that was my. I have to go cause just. I guess maybe just the crowd reaction.
Well, I mean, it has to be your feelings.
Well,
too.
That too. But I felt I always liked Kate. So it kind of, you know, her redemption.
So it was good for you. It was therapeutic.
It was therapeutic. But I did have one that I had on both lists.
What's that?
Sun and Jin dying.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
It was great. It was a great scene. Very touching. Very romantic. Very oh my gosh. But also, you got a kid.
Yeah.
you have a kid and you just left her. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I've had debates with people.
Well, see, I don't think they left her. They were kind of stuck.
It was stuck and it was a tough decision, but I still think Jen could have left it at earlier, but it would have been hard to leave her while she was still alive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
I mean, he was in an impossible situation. I would never want to be in that situation. Yeah. But, you know, he did have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough choice, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's really, like, I'll say again, there's no wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what would you choose to do?
I mean, it was a tragedy either way.
Right.
But yeah, I could see how that could be both your on both sides of the list.
I kept crossing things off, putting them on. I had Hurley on there. I was like, no. So I decided to go different direction on some of these things.
All right.
But that was one I go. I can't decide. Is it my favorite or is it my least favorite? Because it was a great scene, but it also bugged me.
Exactly. All right, so that's what we had to say about it. We do have some calls about their five favorite, least favorite, but that doesn't mean you can't still call in or send an email in for yours. So you can do that 206-309-0311 or email us at lostpodcast@gmail.com. All right, Jack, ready to get into some listener feedback?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, so listener feedback time. Got a couple emails and phone calls to get into. So, Jack, what do you say we do the emails first?
I say do it.
All right. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Season 3 premiere, Letting Go. This is from Martin. In season 3 premiere of Lost, the flashback is all about letting go for Jack with his ending of his marriage to Sarah. The Lost series finale was all about letting go. Something tells me this was not a coincidence.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a major theme for Jack from the very beginning is he would never be able to let go.
Never let go. He always had to be the... He wanted to make everything right, and sometimes in life, you just can't.
Yeah, and sometimes you just gotta let go.
Gotta let go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This one's titled, What Locke Saw. Jay and Jack, I recently finished the finale yet again, and I have to say, I loved it. I saw it as a perfect symmetrical end to the characters. Yes, it didn't answer every single mystery, but it finished the journey that our Lost season embarked on, the pilot. It reminded me of Star Wars, how our characters began a journey and finished it in Return of the Jedi. It was beautifully done. But the reason I'm emailing you today is to run a crackpot theory by you. Since finishing the finale, I have taken to a series rewatch and go to Walkabout, where Locke saw the smoke monster and he described seeing a beautiful white light. What if Locke actually saw was the smoke monster showing his ultimate fate as in the finale? Locke and the other survivors moving on towards the light. That would be a cunning half-truth to seduce Locke. As we know in the Christian Bible, the devil tempted Adam and Eve with a half-truth. Yeah, it's way out there, but it's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it. Also, I'm looking forward to what you guys, which are you guys' thoughts on 10 shows to watch to fill Lost Void. Might recommend Supernatural and Fringe. They're quite suitable Lost replacement. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Cheers, Tim in Arkansas.
I like that. That's what could, you know, we don't have an answer for what he saw. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of...
But shame on you for not waiting for our rewatch. Jeez. Well,
there's a lot of people that said they couldn't wait, and they're already going ahead, and they're sending emails. Hey, this is what I saw in the rewatch. I'm like going... Well, it'll be easier for me to answer it once I get back. Because, you know, you're trying to... There's a lot of scenes you go, oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
forget.
Exactly.
It's crazy. But that's okay. Now, this one's called Further Questions. This one's... Remember, last week we had questions that were answered.
Yes.
And this has questions that weren't answered. This one's from Jeff.
Okay.
Where did the food drops come from? We never got that answer. Remember that food drop when they...
Yep.
How did that get there?
Maybe... I don't know. I got nothing.
How did Mikhail heal so fast? I would say that's probably the island.
Yes, definitely the island.
I say the island is what...
I mean, the island healed everybody else. Why wouldn't it heal Mikhail?
I know they had to remove Walt from the island, but what was his original story going to be?
Well, it's just... It's not necessarily that there was going to... I mean, the story happened on the show. I mean, it wasn't like there was some other fate that just didn't... I mean, his story happened. He was taken by the others. He was... observed, maybe experimented upon to see what his powers were. Powers were more than they could handle, so they gave him back to Michael, and then he left, and he lived a relatively normal life outside the island.
I don't think it was so much that. I think that Ben made a deal.
Mm-hmm. But even still, remember when Ben was giving him to him, he was like, he was maybe bit off more than they could chew, or he bit more than they could handle. He did say that to him.
He did say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Miss Clue order Mikhail to kill her?
So maybe she didn't give out the information that she might know, that they were going to torture her, maybe?
Maybe she was like mother, she wanted off. She didn't want to be on the island anymore. Never know. Why did the others What did the others do to Kate when she was captured? I thought we heard something about that. There was an actual scene that was filmed.
Wait, which time?
When she's in the handcuffs and she's in the dress. Remember she's with Ben?
Yeah, that she had a nice dinner with him.
Had a nice, but there was something, everyone always wondered what happened.
That's what, it got in the dress so she could have that nice lunch or whatever on the beach.
Yeah. Huh.
That's what I thought that was for.
But there was something that, I think it was a scene that was filmed that was left out.
No, I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
We might have to address that.
Why did Ethan seem to have superhuman strength while fighting Jack when none of the others seemed to share that ability? But that's not true. Juliet had was strong when she was killing, beating up Kate, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe when you're on an island like that, I mean, you really...
Or maybe you're on Jacob's side and Jacob gives you the power.
I have the power.
I don't know. That's a lot of these are going to be good for the rewatch.
Yeah, definitely.
Why was Libby in Australia? That question was answered by Jay.
It was? What did I answer?
Yeah, she wanted to go to Australia
uh-huh.
so that she can get on a plane, crash on a crazy island, be chased around, have to live life stressed out, and then eventually be shot and killed. That's why Libby was that. So that answered that question, Jeff. Did Paulo ever use his walkie-talkies to talk to the others? I would say no.
No, I don't think
so. He might have listened to him.
Yeah.
Who broke the ring of ash around Jacob's cabin?
Well, did we ever for sure it was Jacob's cabin?
No, we're not sure if Man in Black was in there
mm-hmm.
or if it was Jacob.
Yeah.
That's a question that's going around. Who was the mysterious figure in the rocking chair? Well, it had to be Man in Black because it was Christian Shepherd, right?
Yeah.
So if Man in Black was telling the truth, then it had to be Man in Black.
Well, there's the ring around it, so maybe it was Jacob's, because the ring of ash, whatever, is to protect him from the smoke monster, or whoever was in it. But still, I mean, it was obviously it was compromised by the smoke monster.
Who was whose eye did Hurley see in the window?
I think the smoke monster.
That was a stagehand, right?
And then even I think maybe the help me that Locke heard was Man in Black.
Why did the pictures in the staircase change when Miles went up to the dead boy's room? Remember when he went up to the room
that.
And came back, they were different.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Don't know.
We never got an answer for that, did we?
No. I think some of the things we just never get an answer to.
When did Hurley record the numbers and why?
Jorge was on the show and he said that's just one of those things that just won't get answered.
Yep. Why does Shannon hear Walt speaking backwards, not push the button? Do not push the button.
Maybe Walt thought the machine was bad, but he didn't know for sure. I mean, yeah. Walt could have been just as wrong as anybody.
Or they could have been telling him to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is Wallace? 108.
Do we really need to know?
Well, Jeff wants to know. You don't care about what Jeff has to think?
I don't think it's something that we need to know.
Why does Faraday have an American accent if his parents are English?
Maybe he was raised mostly in America.
He wanted to
maybe he went to American schools.
He wanted to pass.
Oh man.
Who wouldn't want to be American? I'm kidding.
That's very American of you, Jack, to think that.
Maybe we want to have a better soccer team.
I think we both went out the same round.
We did. I guess, there's not even any bragging rights there. I'm just kidding. Does Men in Black have a name? What did the writers call him behind the closed doors?
Probably Man in Black.
Man in Black.
I think Damon Lindelof said they call him Locke.
Yeah, they call him Locke. I think on his door, his trailer, it says Man in Black.
Yeah, so that's what they call him.
But I guess someone's reported that it was Samuel. A lot of people have been rumors that it was Samuel.
Yeah, but it wasn't, so it could just be pure rumors.
That's just, we're never going to know.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever you want it to be.
But really, like, all those, they weren't really like, oh my God, I need to know.
I think the food drop one would be nice.
That'd be nice, but it's not like I'm not sleeping at night because I don't know it.
Well, because you're a homer. You don't care. You think Lost, everything Lost does is perfect.
I don't think that. You heard my five least favorite. I could come up with them.
A couple on there. Like I said, we explained the Libby one.
Yeah. All right, Jack. Well, let's get to this next email.
All right.
We got a lot to get into here. This one's titled Light Out Idea. Hey, Jane, Jack. I was listening to the podcast the other day, and remember you talking about how electromagnetism messing up on the island could possibly destroy the world. Well, I remember back in a Rose Byrne episode that the healer Bernard went to said that there were pockets of energy all over the world. Jacob said if it goes out on the island, it goes out everywhere. So it makes sense that a catastrophic event could have occurred. Love the podcast and excited for the last rewatch. Sure hope you expand to some other shows. Thanks, Dan. P.S. I take Jack's view on the Jacob debate.
Oh, who doesn't? Yeah, I think that could. There's a lot of, we're getting a lot of emails, I don't know about phone calls, people saying, I don't think the world would have ended, or the world would have ended. This would have made a great versus.
Yes.
Because a lot of people feel strongly about it either way. But we don't really, do we know, we don't know 100% sure that the world would have ended.
I do.
Yeah.
I have a secret information.
Great.
All right, Jack, you ready to get into the phone calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I was just listening to the podcast that had the argument about whether Jacob brought people to the island, which we know for sure that he did. And since they tried the entire series to get off the island, then we would think it would be against their will. But my question is, does Jay argue stupid things just for the sake of arguing? Because, I mean, I really think he would argue that water was dry or that sand was wet from the way he's argued on this. Just a question. Bye.
Hey, guys, this is David in Raleigh. I heard that you were going to be going over some of your favorite and least favorite things for the season. The one thing that I'd have to say is one of my least favorite things for this past season is the character of Zoe. That she was just always distracting when she was on the screen. First of all, the fact that she looked just like Tina Fey. And so every time you, the first time you saw her, you're wondering, okay, is that Tina Fey in a bad makeup, or is she making some kind of cameo? Which seemed very out of place. And so she was rather distracting. And then the character as a whole really didn't do that much besides, I think her big scene was basically interrogating Jin to try to get some information out of him. But as far as favorite moments, there was a lot of them. I think something that was very simple was I really liked when Hurley and Bit had their conversation outside the church. And even though it was just a couple of lines, it just opened up so much as far as you realizing there was so much more story out there that we weren't going to see. Then I like that, and that was one of my favorite moments. So keep up the good work. Looking forward to the rewatch. Talk to you later. Bye.
Least favorite moment from season 6. Jack's Superman punch at Locke. He didn't throw that punch from left field. He threw that punch from the end zone. If Locke can't block that or get out of the way, he deserves to get Jack's Superman punch was
Friends do not let friends call the podcast drunk.
Oh man.
Well, I liked the scene. It was intense.
I loved it.
I can see where he's coming from. It was a long ways away. But, it is.
It was pretty spectacular.
You could see Locke, the real Locke, running up and probably hitting himself in Jack's fist.
Yeah.
Maybe that. I don't know. But I thought, again, everyone sees the show differently.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the scene. That was a great scene. But I get his point.
Yes.
It was a long ways away.
Exactly.
I guess, in real life, he would have jumped up like that and face planted.
All you had to do is just step out of the way.
Yeah. But, still, awesome. Man in Black did have a big knife.
He had a big knife, and I think Man in Black was cocky enough to think that he would be able to defend it.
Right.
So.
And it didn't work.
There you go.
David, his least favorite. Yeah, Zoe. I don't, the actress, I've seen her on other things. I like her. She didn't work for me. I just kept thinking Carl the whole time. Kill her off. I don't like her. And it didn't have anything to do with the Tina Fey thing. It was just, it just didn't work. There was
you hate Tina Fey. That's what it is.
It could be.
We found it out.
But it just didn't work for me. So, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with him on that one. And I did like the Hurley and Ben scene outside the church. But it got me thinking, the thing I forgot about was Hurley and Charlie when Hurley shoots him
mm-hmm.
with the dart.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
That was a fun scene.
It didn't click until you forget. I said, that would have definitely made my top five if I would have.
Yeah, would have.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The whole scene was funny because the way he opens the door and, they're probably, they're friends, away from the show.
Mm-hmm.
They get along and he was always sad. They were upset when they, when he left after season three, and you see his face, it's his facial expression, which is like an old friend.
Yeah.
It was a great scene. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other caller, yeah, that's Jay. Have you not been listening?
The problem is that sometimes you can't just let Jack just blabber his mouth uncontrollably. Sometimes you got to stand up and fight.
But sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles. You can't be like John Locke just going on the island saying, I got to do this. I got to blow up the sub. I got to blow up Inner 7-7. Oh, I can do this. Sometimes you got to pick and choose. I got to save the hatch. I got to blow up the hatch. It's, you know, sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles.
All right, Jack, you ready for the next set of calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is KG from D.C. The thing I really wanted to talk about was the Sideways Universe, and really what I appreciated about the Sideways Universe, and that was, you know, you really got a chance to really glimpse at how the Losties really saw themselves. This purgatory, Sideways Universe, whatever you want to call it, was really, you know, a construct that allowed them to be who they thought they were. So for Saeed, you know, like what Hurley said, you know, people have been telling you you're bad so long that you believed it. Well, that's what he believed. He believed he was a bad man, and that he was undeserving of Nadia, which why, you know, when he was with Shannon at the end, it for me it made sense that he was with Shannon and not Nadia. I mean, he never really believed he deserved her. Even though he had her in life, there was part of him that never really believed he deserved her. So, you know, Jack, you know, he really felt himself to be a good man, maybe not a great husband, but, you know, he felt that deep down in his heart he could be a good father, you know, if given the chance, and break the curse of his father. Kate, you know, she is somewhere down the line, she felt like a convict or a wrongly convicted convict, if you want to call it that. So, you know, that was, you know, just an interesting glimpse into the character's psyche and how at the end of the day, you know, when they all came together, it just really, you know, I think brought it home, at least for me anyway. So that I thought was really cool. I really enjoyed the podcast, guys. Hope you keep it going. Look online to see if you have any other podcasts that you're doing. I know you're not doing the V podcast anymore. You know, sad to hear. Not a great show, but hey, it's still on at least. And hope to hear from you guys soon, and we'll definitely be listening to the recast. Bye.
Hi, guys. This is Steve in the UK. Just a quick couple of ideas. First of all, given our relative successes in the recent World Cup, I was wondering if you guys were looking to perhaps branch out into sports promotions and could perhaps arrange a football match based on the baseball model. Just invite the US and UK teams and perhaps improve our chances of actually winning something in the football arena. That'd be great. Second idea, just trying to rise to your challenge around contributing to the show. Just wondering if, as part of a rewatch, we could try and keep track of some of the longer story arcs that perhaps spread over multiple episodes. In particular, I'm looking at what happened at the end of the fourth series where Man in Black got the guys to move the island, and what was his justification behind that? What, you know, what was his motivation? And then, you know, perhaps who he could have been working with, example, Eloise Hawking, to try and make sure that John Locke's body came back so he could then take over and sort of put his big plan into place. Hope you guys well.
Hi, my name is Tyler Dewey, and I am from Wyoming. I was just calling in to talk about whether it was okay for Jacob to take all the other people on the plane and essentially kill them. I believe that this is morally okay. The key word is morally. Because Jacob was probably just following one of his moral beliefs. And this belief would be utilitarianism. You don't know what utilitarianism is, it is just the belief of the greater good for the greater amount of people. For example, if a million people were going to die and the only way to save them was to kill 10 innocent people, a utilitarianistic person like Jacob would believe that it would be better to kill the 10 innocent people than to let the million people die. And it's just the same thing with loss. In order to save the world, he would have to keep the man in black on the island. So he'd have to kill all the other people on the plane. So now we have to question whether what Jacob did was actually wrong. He was just following his moral beliefs. And who are we to say someone's moral beliefs are wrong? Sorry if I sound like an angry philosopher, but that is just what I was thinking. Thank you for the podcast. Bye.
All right, thank you for those calls.
Yeah, I think we've debated this. I get what he's saying.
We are done debating.
There's just the moral belief. Sometimes, but if you're... I'm going to let it go.
Okay.
All right. Was it Steven?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, I agree. Because if Man in Black was Christian Shepherd every time,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not 100% behind that yet. He is the one that told Locke to move the island, right?
Yes.
So, was that part of his game plan? It had to have been. I forgot all about that scene, but what if he wasn't always him?
I think he was, though. I think he was.
You're trusting the guy that you say is the worst guy in the world. If he gets off the island, the world's going to end.
Yeah.
So what's worse than that?
That's not really his fault, I don't think. I think it's because...
Well, it's just his moral compass.
No, I just think... I don't think it's necessarily under his control. I think when he leaves, he'll kill the magnetic properties of the island. That's just what I believe.
You know, I can't wait for the rewatch.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing now what I know now, didn't know before. Whatever I'm trying to say. It's gonna be fun.
Okay, all right.
Also, about sports, doing sports. He's talking about, I think, football or soccer.
Well, trying to merge the American and British football teams
together.
So then we could break past our mediocre 15th ranking.
It would be nice, but it's funny. I've been. They've actually.
We need another scorer. Besides Donovan, we don't really have a scorer.
Well, they've actually. I've been recruited.
Oh, you have?
By the American soccer team because I can. You know, I'm not as fast as I used to be, and I'm not as quick and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a decent soccer player.
Uh huh.
But I'm pretty good at laying on the ground, acting like I'm dead. So at my age, so I think that's perfect.
It is funny when you watch some of those.
I know. I had more appreciation for the world watching it.
Uh huh.
And for soccer, I can't stand that. I cannot.
It's part of the game.
I know it's part of the game, and I know
you're
people
trying to get the fouls.
And it's, you know, and I do the same thing in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But in hockey, they don't stop the game.
Yeah. Well, they don't stop the game in soccer either.
The clock keeps moving. They can't add time, but like the referees are saying, well, it depends on how much time they add for the guy laying there like he's dead. They had the one scene where the guy jumped up in the air.
Yeah.
Kind of
fell. Wasn't even touched.
And they bring the stretchers out. I go, I'd be embarrassed.
Actually, the announcers did make fun of him.
Yeah, they did, and they should have.
Yeah.
Now, but the Americans were doing the same thing. I don't know his name. Number 8.
Yeah, he was their fall guy.
He was our fall guy. He'd be like shot, and he'd jump up and go, "Okay, I'm good." That part kind of. But you do. I, as a player, as a mm-hmm. competitor, I do everything within the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not against the rules. It just kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah.
Get up. They shouldn't stop the game. They should just keep playing.
Quit being a bunch of Illyrios.
Yeah.
And get up.
You know, when I'm reffing, you have to decide, is the injury serious?
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is, I won't stop. If the other team's breaking the other way, if they have the puck, I don't stop it unless I see blood
mm-hmm.
or a bone. You keep playing because a lot of times these guys will be laying there. Oh. Anyway, that's the only thing that bugged me, but I get it because it's part of the game.
Yeah.
So you got to do what's in the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess with the high definition TV, it really looks bad.
Yeah, there's not much. Yeah, it's you not, see what's going on.
It's not like back in the 70s when you had the rabbit ears and stuff like that. It was hard to get a good signal and you'd have the snow and stuff like that. And you go, well, maybe it did get hit. Now with the way the cameras are, and they have the cameras, you know.
They shot that thing in 3D too. So.
Yeah, and it's right. You're right on top of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the guy sitting at home, you know, when you watch the clips of the film and go, well, I look like a jerk there. But it is, it is what it is. The problem with American soccer is your best athletes, there's not as much money in it as there is for basketball, football, and baseball.
Yeah. So
your top athletes in America are choosing those sports.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anyway. And then, KG. Yeah, the side, I would agree with everything, except the only person that really didn't change her character much was Kate. She was pretty much the same in The Flash sideways as she was in the...
Yeah, you got a good point. That's another reason why what Kate does was lame.
Because she really didn't really... She was just Kate.
Yeah.
She was the same, you know, she always... Because on the island...
Well, I guess this time she didn't murder somebody. We don't know that for sure, but that's what she said.
No, that's what she... Well, that's what she wanted to believe, that she was innocent. She wanted to believe she was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Jack wanted to believe he would make a good father, and he'd be different from his dad.
Yeah.
You know, Saeed wanted to be... You know, everybody had what they wanted to believe. Hurley would believe he had great luck.
Yeah.
So, but I think Kate was basically the same, except she told herself she didn't kill anybody.
Or maybe she didn't. But I mean, but still, we don't know for sure.
Well, she killed. We know she killed her dad.
No, we know, I think at Comic-Con, America's Most Wanted, she didn't kill her dad. She accidentally killed
her
co-worker.
That was just what they showed at Comic-Con. What we actually saw in the...
We didn't see her kill her dad in the sideways.
No, I'm not talking about sideways. Sideways was just what they wanted to believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, in the actual show, yeah.
Actual show. But Kate was always on the run. She was always trying to be, helpful.
Mm-hmm.
She was just the same person.
Yeah.
Her character didn't really change a lot. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but that's my belief.
All right, Jack, you ready for the last set of calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, this is Lane calling from Fort Worth. Love the podcast. You guys always do a great job. On this week's podcast, you guys were asking for things to talk about, and I would really love to hear who you guys think are the top five most important characters in The Lost show, both good guys and bad guys. I think that would be very interesting discussion to hear what your guys' opinions are, as well as the rest of your listeners. Okay, you guys do a great show. Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Adam from Texas. Just wanted to call in. I'm about halfway through your show that you guys just released, but I had to call in because I didn't do it last week, but I am do want to show my support for Jay, and I do agree with him 100% on the Man in Black versus Jacob debate. I think Jacob, yes, in some ways he was kind of trying to clean up his mistake, but in a lot of ways I think he was saving these people, and it is true, I think, that the decisions they made in their lives got them to the island to some degree. They could have chose the other way. You know, Kate could have stopped stealing. She could have gone the other way. But in some ways, I think that it was their destiny all along to be together. And I think that's what the pre-heaven place that they were in showed us that. But I think it was more of a question of they would be together no matter what happened on the island. But I think the island was a way to make them go through something together. And so that was kind of their destiny, and they needed to do that. So in some ways, it wasn't more of a question of if Jacob brought them, but it's something they really needed in their lives. And I think, yes, the decisions they made did put them on that place. You know, it's like with any type of tragedy, you know, you could have gotten on the bus, you could have gotten on the next plane. You didn't consciously say, oh, I want to get on this plane that's going to get hijacked or whatever, but you did make life decisions that made you want to go to a certain place. You know, the very fact that they're in Australia was, for most of them, reasons that they weren't proud of, and they were trying to run away for something, and, you know, as far as our key characters are concerned. And I think I definitely agree with Jay on that, and I do support that theory 100%. But it's all gray. I think that's what we have to realize. I think it's not black and white. It's not right or wrong. It's a gray show, you know. So that's why it's so fun to debate. But, yeah, can't wait for the next show, guys. I like what you're doing with the rewatch, and I will be downloading every single one and listening to it. And can't wait for your DVD review as well. So love that you guys are continuing as long as possible, and love the show. Keep it up, guys. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Daniel from South Carolina. So I know you're looking for your top five favorite and least favorite moments from season 6. My top favorite absolutely would have to be Desmond running Locke over with his car, and my least favorite would be when Desmond looked like he was going to run Locke over again with his car, but he didn't. I'll just save the other four for someone else to... I just screwed that up completely. Oh, well, whatever. I just want to give you my very favorite and least favorite. Thank you for the great podcast. Goodbye.
I just want everyone to know that was Daniel, not Jack.
I think it was you called in.
I didn't say that, but I did
inhale some helium, and then you called in, and
I did get quite a laugh out of it. That was pretty funny. It just there's people out there that don't like Locke.
I know they're out there. I know they're out there.
You can't make people decide who they like and who they don't like. You can't force them. And then Adam, you agree with Jay 100%? Okay. But one question: if you knew you were going to go on that island, it was going to end up in a crazy place. This Adam, would you choose to get on that plane? I think most would say no. And also, Kate, someone had an interesting point about Kate and Sawyer. How, you know, people always say Jacob didn't interfere. Well, he did interfere with Kate. Maybe she wouldn't have become a thief if she would have learned it at a young age that you can't steal.
Jacob, that's what Jacob told her, not steal.
Yeah, but he said, yeah, okay. Yeah, if you have someone pages, hey, you're okay, but the stranger goes, oh, don't steal anymore. Okay. She didn't learn. She didn't. There was no punishment at home. Was she punished at home?
I think so.
No, she wasn't punished at home. And also, who gave the
pin? Well, you don't know. You don't know if she was punished or not.
I do know.
But you don't.
Would Jacob go tell his mom?
You don't know. You don't know if she was punished. If she then continued to steal more, she would have been punished, don't you think?
Well, if she would have learned at a young age that stealing is wrong.
She may have. You don't know that.
She didn't. She kept. She always had her way.
You can't blame that on Jacob. He told her not to steal.
Just stay out of the way. And then also, he gave Sawyer the pin to finish the letter, which continued the hate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sawyer wouldn't have become a con man if he would have...
He just gave him a pin.
Just gave him a pin.
He didn't tell him to write a letter.
Continue the hate. Continue the
Sometimes
hate.
Sometimes you got to be responsible for your own actions.
Yeah, when you're 9. Let's see. Lane, top 5 characters of all time. Most important characters on Lost.
We need more time to think about that.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I was thinking about it.
Okay.
Got to go Hurley.
Yeah, I'd agree with Hurley.
Jack.
Agreed with that. I would say Jacob and Man in Black, since they're the catalyst for
why the entire why show they were exists. There.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you know, there's.
But I mean, you can't argue against that. And then I would say Ben. That would be my five most important.
But what about Sawyer?
No, I would definitely Hurley, Jack, Jacob, Man in Black, and Ben as the most important characters on the show.
Hmm.
In terms of importance to the story,
right?
Keeping important the story to the going. Story. But yeah, so that would be my picks, I guess.
Yeah, I it's hard to argue. It's just the only thing with Ben, Man in Black, and Jacob is they were not character like Ben wasn't even supposed to be a regular character.
Well, no, I'm not saying what the writers were thinking. No,
let me finish. Okay. But it did work out that he was an important character.
Yeah,
it's just funny how that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Man in Black and Jacob who were just we just saw him what season 5.
Mm-hmm. But they were there. I mean, Jacob was there. Man in Black we saw in the first episode.
Well, Jacob, we didn't know his name until season 4, right?
Season 3.
Was it season 3?
Mm-hmm. That's when...
I always thought it was him.
No, it was the first half of season 3 when Mr. Friendly said that's why he's not on Jacob's list.
But we didn't know who Jacob was.
No, but he was introduced there. Yeah. Man in Black was introduced in the first episode, the monster.
So if he wasn't on Jacob's list, then people who believe that Ben was always working with Man in Black... Is that wrong?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
That's what the rewatch is for. Jay.
Okay.
All right. So I think that's all the calls and stuff we have for today.
Cool.
Next week, we are doing 10 shows.
10 shows that to replace... To
fill the void of Lost.
Yeah. They don't have to be sci-fi.
No.
No.
But I'm already excited. I have a few that I'm excited to put on mine that I don't think you will have. And I think you'll have the same type of stuff that I don't have.
No, I'm going to have good shows. So... Shows that people should be
they're
watching.
They're all good shows, Jack.
No, they're not.
All right.
All the shows, are you telling me all the shows on TV are good?
No.
No. So they're not.
I'm saying all the shows that we'll pick, I'm sure, are good shows.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
All right, Jack, ready to close out the show?
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Friday.
Yay.
If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
Again, it's 206-309-0311. Calling time with the last questions, comments, and or theories. Also give us a call. I already did that. Also give us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, it's lostpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, I'm down to 500 emails.
Woohoo!
That's not bad.
Do you lose any more followers on your Twitter page?
I gained some.
You gained some?
Gained some. Maybe after today, though, I'll probably lose some.
Also,
I was just kidding, England. You know, like, Mom, we're cool.
You can follow us at twitter.com/JayandJack and our individual accounts at... Twitter.com/crackpotjack and Twitter.com/LukeVenk.
Yeah,
LukeVenk.
I think I'm 9 away from 4,000.
Really?
I just want to get to 4,000. I don't know why.
Just a goal.
Just a goal. Just a dream. And also, I'm sending out all the prizes that people won for the contest, but except for the fourth place finisher, I sent you an email. Just waiting to hear back from you. Like Jay said, I don't want to hear back 3 years from now. Hey, I won this prize. It's not going to happen.
Like, are you going to give him a cutoff day? Or
you need to... I'll send another email out, but you need to let me know within the month.
All right.
Because we got to be moving on to different things, and I got to... It's not valuable prizes, just some things we have here that people have donated, but...
Now you're saying things people donated aren't valuable, Jack.
I'm not saying it's like cash prize. It's like a brand new car. So if you don't want it, you don't want it. But it's some cool stuff. Some
Yes, exactly.
Some cool
stuff. Email Jack back. Don't avoid him.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Hasta luego and goodbye.